Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that, listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also, and from anyone who takes away your coat, do not even withhold your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May the words of my lips and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. See, Southern California traffic jams even at the high altar. All Saints Sunday. What a wonderful holiday. And what a perfect day to celebrate the baptisms of new souls into the church, to celebrate the stewardship in gathering this Sunday and this year, especially to enjoy that all-important extra hour of sleep that we had this morning with the change from daylight savings. You know, All Saints hold such an important place in the Episcopal Anglican tradition. We even have parishes and schools that take their name from the holiday. The Roman Catholics and the Orthodox, of course, venerate saints, and they have complex systems of canonization. The Protestants, well, they're not so sure about saints. Maybe the apostles are okay, but they're not too sure about Mary. In our middle way tradition that is both Catholic and Reformed, it is fascinating to reflect that we do not merely split the difference when it comes to saints. No, in the words of the church today, we praise and thank God for all saints, quote, known and unknown. Known and unknown. Think about that. Saints, whether canonized or not, famous or ordinary, acknowledged or unsung. What a radical way of thinking. What an inclusive theology. And it really speaks to the expansive vision of our church to see that the holy is all around us, and that grace is possible anywhere and working through any one of us. It undercuts, of course, the hierarchy's authority over the definition of a saint, and it places the real authority for what it means to be a saint, to know a saint, to witness to a saint, in the lived experience of the believer in relationship with other ordinary folk. And all of us, at some point in our lives, has had that serendipity. We've had that blessing. We've had that gift of a person who enters into our faith journey, perhaps in a big way, but more likely in a little way, perhaps for a moment or perhaps continuing on for years, perhaps recognized and understood at that time, or long afterwards, only realized all of a sudden like a light going off. That person, because of whom you would not be who you are as a Christian today. We all have that person or persons that we celebrate. And the funny thing is, you know, the funny thing is they probably don't even know it. And the wonderful thing, the truly wonderful thing, most likely it was not someone with a halo over their head. It is this particular Episcopal meaning of All Saints which I want to focus on. And to do so, I want to go to the very first reading from the Episcopal lectionary, which is probably the most widely read in the tradition for All Saints Sunday until we switch to the Revised Common Lectionary. Now, I could play a trick on you this morning. I mean, you have an extra hour of sleep, so you're awake and you're full of alacrity and everything. I could have you open your Bibles, but this reading, which is one of my absolute favorites, is one of only a handful of holiday readings that we have that are actually from the Apocrypha. And the Apocrypha is sometimes found in the back of the Bibles, but it's not found in the back of the Bibles that are in your pews. So I could have you go to your Bibles and open them, but that would just be wrong. It would be funny, however, because we'd be here all morning flipping back and forth looking for Ecclesiasticus and only finding Ecclesiastes. Yeah, I know, I probably should have done it. We clergy, we really do have a wicked sense of humor. Now, this is going to take you back to confirmation class, but recall that the Apocrypha are those books, such as Ecclesiasticus, that are historically recognized as sacred, but maybe not of that level to make the cut for the Bible. Think of them, if you're a basketball fan, as sort of being on the bubble of the tournament. They're the mid-majors of holy literature, but there's some great stuff in it nonetheless. But back to Ecclesiasticus. It is a poem. It's a hymn. It's radical in its own way. It starts with that famous line, "Let us now praise famous men," that has worked its way into the culture, into other literature, except that today, properly, we would say, "Let us now praise famous men and women." And then the reading goes on to list them, those worthy of praise through whom God has worked glory. And those include powerful leaders of kingdoms, the intelligent, the wise, prophets, counselors, teachers. It even includes musicians and writers, which is pretty cool. The wealthy who use their riches for the greater good. Those who left to history their glory and good name. Saints, we might say, that are known. But then here comes the part that I really love. Because without taking a breath or nodding in that direction, the reading turns on a dime, and it flips this model of a saint to disclose the real expansive definition that is at the heart of our All Saints Episcopal understanding. And I'm going to quote now. "And there are some who have no memorial, who have perished as though they had not lived. They have become as though they had not been born, and so have their children after them. But these were men and women of mercy, whose righteous deeds have not been forgotten. Their posterity will continue forever, and their glory will not be blotted out. Their bodies were buried in peace, and their name lives to all generations." What a line. What an amazing line. Those who have perished as though they had not lived. Become as though they were not born. These folks, the ordinary, those whom history has forgotten, they are never, ever forgotten by God. They are the saints unknown, loved by those whose lives they touched, remembered for eternity by their Creator and Redeemer, those who worked hard, loved well, praised God, and strove to be merciful and righteous, not famous, in the words of Ecclesiasticus. They are no less in the eyes of God. They too are saints. They are the rest of us. And what a profound message to have on this day when we baptize those into the faith and also renew that faith for ourselves, a faith that sees God all around us, a faith that recognizes the holy at work not only in the high and mighty, but in the simple and the humble, a faith that is an affirmation of all the good in human agency when God is at the center. Against a world that is all too frequently ruled by the cynical values of money, of appearance, of power for power's sake, of bald materialism, all those things pass away. They don't really matter to God. But mercy and righteous deeds, we are told, regardless of one's station in life, these will never be forgotten, because those actions, those people, they lead others to God. That is the definition of a true saint. They will be written into the book of life. I'm reminded on this holiday of All Saints of a book given to me by a good friend who is also a priest, a book by the Pulitzer Prize-winning Episcopalian James Agee and the photographer Walker Evans, who became one of the most important photographers of the 20th century. Back in 1936, this is a year before Steinbeck's Grapes of Wrath, in the midst of the ashes of the Great Depression and the Dust Bowl, Agee and Evans went to Appalachia, and they lived with four sharecropper families for 2 months, and documented in word and in image their struggles. It was one of the first examples of what we might call today embedded first-person journalism that was literature too. Now, if the Grapes of Wrath is about those that came out west to California out of desperation, let us now praise famous men. It's about these tenant farmers. They are the desperate left behind, all but invisible to the rest of the country, eking out a life of grinding poverty, living with dignity and simple faith, and dying as though they had never been born. The title of that book, Let Us Now Praise Famous Men, the first verse of our reading on All Saints this morning. President Jimmy Carter says that it is his favorite book besides the Bible, and its stories inspired him to a life of service not only in politics, but afterwards in Habitat for Humanity. And to make it a little bit more LA and contemporary, I've learned through the magic of the internet that this book is also a favorite of the creator of the TV show series The Wire, which follows the struggles of police and drug dealers in the ghettos of near present Baltimore. This is a truth of our faith. God's presence can be found anywhere and in the most unexpected places, and it can work through anyone. And when it does, those are the folks that we know as saints. Which brings me back to All Saints Sunday. I began with the recognition that we all have people in our lives whose own lives and actions reflect the love of God. And they did so in such a manner that even in small ways have influenced us to a deeper faith and made us who we are today. Or maybe even more. Maybe we wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for them. Because by the grace of God, their presence in our lives saved us. To these saints unknown, we give thanks to God, and we pray that we may aspire to be that person to someone else, that we may be instruments of the love that we have been given, and in some small way, in mercy and in righteous action, be that lowercase s saint, that saint unknown for others, that God always remembers. Amen.